Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn, you had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clowner with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, trade addicts pie. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Steve at Fantasy Ladder, and I have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Session 372 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. So drop a DAP in the chat or in the comments if you're with us. We appreciate all of you. And today we have another new guest of the show. We have Steve at Fantasy Ladder joining us. Steve, thanks for coming on.
Of course, tonight. I appreciate the invite. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get started, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
So for now, I am contentless, but that's okay. I'm still active on X. Still weird for me to say X. I still want to call it Twitter.
We're a Twitter podcast. Right. Don't worry.
That's right. Yeah. So you can follow me at Fantasy Ladder. The only thing that's exciting that I have going on right now is I do have a promo code for the Fast Draft app. So if you use the promo code Ladder and deposit $50, you'll get an extra $50 into your account. So be sure to do that if you are looking for some best ball action with a very efficient drafting style. It's very fun. So
absolutely,
that's the only thing I got going on right now. So
yeah. I've gotten into the fast draft stuff a little bit, and it's very fun, and it is very efficient. I will say that. So if you only have a few minutes, it's worth it just to get practice in. So it's your first time on the show, so we have a little interview for kind of first time guests. So first, how long have you been playing fantasy for?
So I've been playing fantasy football for 20 years now. Started in what was an 8-man league, which turned into 10, then 12, and now it's a 14-team auction redraft league. So it's pretty intense. But this will be my 20th year officially. Yeah.
And then how long have you been playing Dynasty for?
Dynasty, I had to think back on this, but I figured it out, and it's been 7 years. I had to figure out because our league started in Flea Flicker, then we transferred to Sleeper. But I do remember the first crop of rookies that I drafted was the Kyler Murray, Miles Sanders, Hollywood Brown year. For some reason, those are the names that are, you know, coming into mind right now. So I had to trace back there. So we did the startup, and then that was the first set of rookies. So this will be year 7.
Yeah.
Or 8, I guess, technically. I'm entering Dynasty, so...
It's funny. Have you really ever played Dynasty if you haven't played like 1 year on Flea Flicker at some point in your life? Like,
that's right.
The platforms have all gotten so good now. Despite what people think about NFL and Sleeper, anything is better than Flea Flicker. So in your time playing Fantasy, what's some of the best trades you've made?
So I kind of had to rack my brain a little bit because the trades I tend to remember are like the bad ones, and we'll get there for sure. But recently here, back in August of 2022, I had to do some digging. I did acquire Geno Smith in a 14-team Superflex league for just two 2023 fourths. And that season, he was the quarterback 5. So that was a very fantastic value there. And then last summer, I traded a 26th third for Chuba Hubbard, and he ended up as the RB14 and then earned a contract extension with the unfortunate Jonathan Brooks injury coming into the rookie season. And then again, at the end of the rookie season, really sucks for him, but you know, it wasn't definitely nice for me. So to flip just a future third, I would say a late third, because I'm contending in this particular league, to end up with the RB14 is very nice. A trade I did last year, last August, I got Mike Evans and Josh Jacobs straight up for Amari Cooper and Isaiah Pacheco. So Evans ended as the wide receiver 14. Jacobs was the RB6. Pacheco and Cooper were in the mid-60s.
Was still a Cowboy, or was he a Brown by then?
He was a Brown at that point, yeah. So I ended up trading to... I won that league that previous year. And then the team I defeated, I did that trade with them. So this was a real positive trade for myself. However, I ended up losing to that team that same year in the championship. So despite that trade that he lost on, he still ended up beating me in the championship again.
But sometimes fantasy season. Karma. Yeah.
It's a weird thing, sometimes. But that singular trade was a winning trade, but overall he still came away with the trophy. So yeah.
Nice. And then what are some of the worst trades you've made, since they're easier to memorize?
Yeah. I at this point, I'm not losing sleep over them anymore, but they are a couple of doozies.
But you were then.
Just absolutely horrified seeing it all play out over the last season plus. But last year, I kind of aggressively acquired Will Levis, thinking, just being obsessed with like the physical traits he always had on display as a backup for Penn State and then in Kentucky, whatever. When with like Brian Callahan coming from Cincinnati, I'm like, oh, this will be a nice little breakout.
Music to Frank Sears.
Yeah, I knew I liked it.
So I got Will Levis. This was the day before the rookie draft began. I traded away Ezekiel Elliott, no big deal, and Daniel Jones, and a 24 first, which was 111. Now, in the same draft, I had 103, 104, and 106. So I figured I could kind of give up that 111 in my mind.
Yeah.
So that 111 ended up being Brian Thomas Jr. And then I have a useless quarterback even now. You know, it just the Mayo King became the meme king, and then he was benched for Mason Rudolph, which is just absolutely awful. So I feel like I just have to stubbornly hold him now just until he just really falls off the wagon.
Yeah.
And then the real doozy, even worse than that, is in September of 2023, I acquired Treylon Burks and Quentin Johnston for a 24 first, second, third, and Michael Mayer. So this was before Brock Bowers was in Las Vegas. But again, that just completely, I mean, it didn't ruin my team. I ended up going to the championship and that and lost. So again, that first was a late first. That pick actually did turn out to be Brian Thomas Jr. So just thinking like a it guy who's, out. Yeah. So it that was just horrifying, and I'm still am trying to recover from that, but two bad ones there. Yeah.
It's always funny that Will Levis aside, I was joining a bunch of leagues when I first started playing Dynasty. I joined one with Rocky, and this was when every quarterback was worth a 23 first, and I spent a 23 first on Zach Wilson because they had just gotten Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, and the offense was going to be better. And
that's right. Yep.
Didn't listen to me.
Didn't listen to him. So, it's so easy to fall for the offenses and the surrounding pieces. So I do understand that. So, let's get to the news. First off, we'll do a question of the week. Since Rust, you skipped it. What the hell, dude? I wanted, this was actually good for him. That's why I put it in here, but we'll do it again. When is it time to buy running backs? We never buy running backs, but if we did, when would that be? Steve, when do you start buying running backs in Dynasty?
I kind of, it's so difficult because it can just completely blow up in your face, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I can kind of insulate some of the risk by buying aggressively, like at a trade deadline, if there is one in your league. That to me would be like the optimal time to do it, although it might cost a little more. If all the things are lining up, that's when I would be more comfortable being aggressive and pushing the chips in rather than like early September, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just is how I would look at it, like in the mid season, or if there is a trade deadline, I would do it at that point.
Yep. Rock.
I mean, the cop out answer is when the value is right.
Yeah. But like, okay.
But let's say, no. I basically am agreeing with Steve. Basically, in season, I'm fine anytime in season. I can see, you know, obviously I think later the better because, you know, the less time for them to get injured. But once you're scoring points, I think it's pretty much clearly the best time to buy running backs so that you don't have to worry about what's going to happen preseason or that they're going to get someone drafted over them or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Does that apply to, and Steve, you can answer first, does that apply to all running backs? Like, are we including Bijan and Gibbs and kind of the super high tier in that in your mind? Or is there like a, you can buy these four running backs whenever, but everyone else is like in season?
I took it as the top tier guys. Okay. Like if I'm contending and like that's like the final piece that I think can get me over the hump, like the first is less valuable to me. If I think it's going to be a late first, I'd rather acquire like Saquon Barkley last year. He's on like a hot streak. Oh, I'll be happy to pay a little extra and then take that chance. But so I was taking it that way, Gibbs or McCaffrey. But McCaffrey is a great example of why you don't want to do it like in the late summer. You know what I mean? But either way, I think pass catching backs and like higher tier handcuffs are I think there will always be a market for those type of guys, you know.
Absolutely.
I think anything goes as far as those guys go, but top end guys I would want to wait to strike when the time is right. Yeah.
I think I would be more okay, I think, than Steve buying the top tier young guys at any point, even in the non-point scoring season. McCaffrey, Barkley, you know, McCaffrey in past years, Barkley now, I really don't generally want to buy until we're scoring points. And we've talked about our worries about Barkley even in the point scoring season this year. But yeah, like a Bijan, like a Gibbs, like a trade we have on here maybe, those kind of guys, I think it's a little more, I'm more willing to do it as long as you're not paying a crazy price.
Yeah, I didn't want to beat a dead horse, but there was, you know, people like a writer from The Athletic that said the Eagles are going to take more off Barkley's plate. But, you know, we'll see how that actually goes.
I think they should.
I think they should, too. They should give him McCaffrey treatment, which is like, you know, give him six carries at the start of the season and then give him 200 in the back end. All right, let's get into Rocky's two favorite topics, the Chiefs and the Colts. I feel like speaking of beating a dead horse, but this one was actually important to me. Rashee Rice is expected to be a full participant in training camp. He's ready to roll. So Steve, where is Rashee Rice for you in, I guess, one, the grand scheme of like the Rice worthy battle and then Rice kind of overall?
Yeah. I mean, I'm encouraged by the news. I would be taking Rice over Worthy, say in redraft. I would value him higher in dynasty, but I do like Worthy, but it's just more of the, seems to be a little bit more boom bust. I think Rice is a better floor, but it still has that same ceiling. You know, as long as he's on the field, you know.
Yeah.
Right. So no, I would be very comfortable ranking Rice high. I mean, maybe as high as he was last year. Well, maybe not as high as last year, because there's a bunch of the wide receivers have kind of bumped up a bit, but he's still a comfortable high end wide receiver 2.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. That's where I'd put him too. Rocky, are you giving a, I guess now 26 first for Rashee Rice?
If I'm pretty sure it's going to be later, yes, I would. Okay. We've talked about him plenty. I keep forgetting if it was J. Mike, Zach, or both, but I remember one of them, those couple weeks they were on, was talking them up, and they convinced me. I'm on the Rashee Rice bandwagon now.
Yep. And he still has a suspension looming. There's a couple of guys suspensions looming, so we'll see how that progresses. Anthony Richardson. So I separated this. I didn't say both Rashee Rice and Anthony Richardson were expected to be full participants. Anthony Richardson is expected to be available for training camp. And James Boyd of The Athletic thinks Daniel Jones has a significant lead. So, Steve, who would you like to start and who do you think will start?
I mean, for me, saying a significant lead in late June really doesn't mean a lot to me this point. Also, I've seen a lot of Daniel Jones, and we kind of know. I've seen that movie. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I don't know. Like, it's like the same thing I have with like Will Levis. Just the potential, the physical traits that Richardson has, that is just much more appealing to me than what Daniel Jones can bring to the table, even though he has some rushing upside and all that kind of stuff. I just would be much more excited about Richardson myself, but yeah, I think it's just too soon to get worked up about late June reports.
Fair enough.
In this regard.
Yes. But Rocky, do you care about a Colts wide receiver yet?
Well, I was going to say for Richardson himself or Daniel Jones himself, I think Richardson is certainly more interesting, and I'd probably rather see that in terms of the actual quarterback. But I think for the receivers, it's a lot better if Daniel Jones starts. And I think I've said that before. So even like,
especially for like Downs, who like trolls the middle of the field.
Yeah. And we've seen like, not that any of them are superstars in the last year or two with what the quarterbacking has been, but even when they've had competent quarterbacking, they've at least been pretty usable fantasy pieces, both Down and Pittman. So, and when they have Richardson, a lot of the times they're not. So, and Daniel Jones, I think, is at least competent enough to support a receiver too that's got some talent. And again, I don't think either of them are superstars, but they're both talented enough to be good fantasy pieces if they can get at least Daniel Jones level quarterbacking, I think.
Yes. And then you can believe this last story if you want. Rodgers said on McAfee today that this will be his last season. As a reminder, he plays the Jets, Packers, and Bears all this season. Please, Chicago, we can't let him win one more time. We can't. He can't win as a Steeler. Like, we just, the Bears have to win that game. But does this change anything for either of you? I think we kind of assumed this was a one-year thing, but nothing? Okay.
Yeah, no.
And then the last story I didn't put on here is Jalen Hurts will be releasing a children's book. Steve, I don't know if you have kids for children's book level, but will, as a, if you are looking at patreon.com/TreyXPod, you would be seeing that Steve is wearing an Eagles jersey. Will you be buying your children Jalen Hurts' children's book?
My boys are 9 and 7. As much as I would. Yeah. A little too high. We're trying to get them away from the graphic novel, like Dogman type stuff, and actual like chapter books now.
Yes.
Well, my 7-year-old, he's still okay there, but with the 9-year-old, we're trying to just kind of level him up a bit. But would it still be fun to have? Absolutely. Like, I'm a nut. I would probably still buy it if the price is right. I mean, I still have like a little nephew. I have a five-year-old nephew who I think would enjoy that. So maybe, I'll say maybe. Yeah.
Rocky, I know your kids are too old. Do you have anyone in your life that would buy Jalen Hurts' children's book?
I don't think so. I'm too old. Even like my nephews and nieces and like and cousins, kid, like everybody's older than out of children's book range. So I think I'll be passing on Jalen Hurts' children's book, as much as I love Jalen Hurts.
That's fair enough. All right, Steve. So the next part, we get to have the guests choose. Would you like to do TradeX trades or listener questions first?
We'll do listener questions. That sounds fun.
Let's take questions first. All right, we're starting with Dynastud, who dropped, I think, only five this week. He's
gotta love Dynastud. He basically supplies our listener questions.
I know, and he even wrote a question. I didn't put it in the question list, but he's like, I'm surprised no one else does this because I basically have my own podcast for like 20 minutes. So, all right, we'll start with this. How many teams do you need to have in your portfolio to take a portfolio approach? We don't have Sidlow. We need Sidlow for this. As opposed to just going and getting your guys. I'm up to five teams now, and we'll probably have a six by kickoff week one. Is it still reasonable to have 100% of certain guys I love? So, Steve, first off, how many leagues do you have? Just we could start there.
Dynasty leagues, I'm at 19 right now.
Ooh, all right, good. So this is a good question for you then. Yes. So, I assume you take kind of a portfolio approach, and do you still have guys that you want to kind of like have 100% of, or do you try and say like, okay, well, I took a lot of Abuka in these couple leagues. I want to stay away from him this time. Like, how do you think about that?
Yeah, I have more of a portfolio approach, but there are certain guys I try to plan for, depending on where my rookie picks are, and no one rookie draft is the same for me. I'm all over the map on some. I finished in fourth. I have no firsts or whatever, you know. So there are certain guys at certain points I will always be trying to look at. Like the one for me this year was I was trying to get as much Jalen Milroe as possible in like the mid to late second. So if it made sense for me to get him there, I would try to make that happen just because of the drop off of the wide receivers and kind of you're beginning that like secondary tier of like the running backs at that stage. I just would rather have Milroe in a super flex. So I think it's wise to go after those guys that you really, really want, because then if they hit, then it's gravy. Mm-hmm. But if they obviously, if they don't, then it's kind of an interesting learning opportunity for you to see like what went wrong in your evaluation or your priorities. But the line that I kind of have for portfolio versus just going 100% is probably like five or six leagues. So I think this listener is right at that mark where he can kind of expand his player pool a bit. I actually did that most recently rookie draft. I was considering Jackson Dart, but Ibuka was there and I hadn't had a share of him yet. So I kind of put the pick on the block to see if anything was enticing, but I just ended up getting him because I hadn't gotten him yet. So like, I'll just take him as my first share and I'll be happy with that, you know? But yeah, so I think five leagues is a good time to start branching out just to say, oh, I'll take a share of this guy. Or I'll take a share of that guy.
I agree.
I was going to go a little high. I was going to say maybe, I don't think there's a set number, but like, I was thinking like once you get into double digit leagues, then you should definitely be more doing that. But also I was going to say like when you're in 30 or even 19, like you're not getting 100% of anybody anyway. No. Even if you want to, just by simple variance, you're probably at best, you'd be lucky to get 50% of any one guy, no matter how much you like him. I would even more so than this side of it, that if you are in this many leagues like Steve and me, and I can't remember how many you're in, Frank.
I'm getting there.
Giving you. Okay. I think it's more valuable to go on the other end where you get guys you don't like just to have just in case shares, as Russ refers to. Unless, of course, it's Zach Wilson. But
had to go there.
Yeah.
Will Levis and Zach Wilson in the same one.
But yeah, I if I was even in like 10 leagues, I don't know that I would get any guys that I don't really like, but yeah. I still do that sometimes, especially, with whether we're talking rookies or other, or, you know, like I have a couple of Richardson shares and I never really liked Richardson, but I have them, you know, just in case, like Russ mm-hmm. says. So, I think that's just as valuable as trying to diversify up at the top end of guys you love and things like that.
Yeah,
sometimes you're wrong.
Yeah, well, don't be afraid to be wrong. That's my tip. I think the way I kind of think of portfolio teams, and this is probably more for me since I've been in a bunch of dispersals recently, but I found like a bunch of teams in the middle, and I'll like rebuild into and contend into. So I'll do trades. I wouldn't like if I have like the 106 across four things, I'll trade the 106 in a few places, and I'll stay at the 106 in a couple of other places, and try and do different strategies is the way I kind of think about it. And because at the end of the day, it still depends on your team, right? Just because you need a wide receiver doesn't like, but you've taken Ibuka in 17 other places doesn't mean you shouldn't take Ibuka if he's there and you want him as a wide receiver on your team. It's one of those things where it all kind of works together. So, all right. Question two, who are your favorite 2025 sleeper and breakout candidates?
I really should have looked at these questions beforehand.
So Steve, I have
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a few of each, so I don't want to, you know, take anyone's, you know, picks or anything. But one of my favorite tight end breakouts is Breton Strange on the Jags. I think the new head coach there coming over from Tampa Bay, I think he'll be in a nice spot to have probably single coverage with Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter being there. He was a reliable red zone target at Penn State and had a couple touchdowns last year. So I could see him breaking out a bit. I guess kind of like an obvious one is probably like JJ McCarthy. If we're looking at quarterbacks, just a ton of talent around him and just a little bit of the unknown of missing his rookie year, you know, wherever he's going, as far as QBs go, you know, it's such a deep position. I think he could definitely jump where his like, you know, August ADP will be. And then a couple of running backs. I like, Will Shipley, not just because of the Homer thing, but I think there is legitimate concern over Barkley, his usage, and what Shipley showed in the playoffs, especially against the Commanders at the end of that game. It just he just got the juice, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think if anyone's going to be getting that work in Barkley's place, I don't think it's going to be AJ Dillon personally, unless it's like on the goal line. But then again, it's going to be Hurts getting the tush push again. Yeah. So I'm very into Shipley as like a last player in the draft. And then maybe a little bit deeper. I have no idea what ADP is at this point, but I kind of like Raheem Mostert in Las Vegas. If God forbid something happens to Gene T, I could just see Pete Carroll just using Mostert a lot. I just don't think very highly of Zamir White. I don't think if anyone does.
Yeah.
Not sure if like Sincere McCormick is going to be around. I have no idea, but I think Mostert has showed enough over the years. He could, again, he could just fall into the end zone 10 times. You know what I mean? And you could get him at the very end of a draft or get him in free agency in like week three or something, you know? Yeah. So that those would be some of the guys I would be looking at to get.
Yeah. Before Rocky goes, I didn't put it in the news, but there's rumors that Mostert could be the third down back in Vegas, which is kind of interesting. He could be the guy catching passes. So I could absolutely see Mostert having, you know, third round rookie pick trade value for sure. And just someone who you can stash and play with. Rocky, do you have names or do you want me to go?
You can go, but I'll have a name or two in a minute.
Okay. My first one's going to be a little homer. I think this is Caleb Williams's time. I think he has everything he should need, right? Like, you know, whether he puts it together or something different, but the pieces are there for Caleb Williams' breakout. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to come back to kind of where we put him a year ago. I think the Cardinals used him poorly. I've said this before last year. They didn't do what he does properly. They had him running a lot of deep balls. They had him doing a lot of things he like running down the sideline, stuff he just doesn't do. When you watch him in college, he's very good after the catch. And he's obviously, people have seen the pictures. He's jacked out of his mind right now. So he's ready to go. I think he will be a really good player kind of for them along the lines. And then for me, I think just pick your favorite Texans wide receiver too. I think whichever one of Higgins or Noel, or if for some reason you like Kirk still, like that's probably the value right now, because that offense, assuming their line doesn't completely fall to pieces after trading Tunsil, that line team or that offense seems ready to go, and Stroud seems healthy and happy and has a lot of weapons. So I like the offense.
Okay, I have some names.
Good.
You guys talked long enough that I was able to scroll through the ADP and pick some guys out. I came up with three. One is actually two of them tie in with teams you mentioned. One of them, even really specifically, is one. The first one I have is Roma Dunze. Mm-hmm. Not that like we don't value Roma Dunze or he had a bad season last year, but I think he could definitely, with the additional weapons with Ben Johnson, with Caleb Williams improving, hopefully, he could kind of jump into that tier that at least like JSN got into last year in terms of production. So I like Roma Dunze. Another one, Trey Benson. I do think James Conner at some point.
I was going to say James Conner as my answer too, which is funny. So this is interesting. Go ahead though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of in-depth in that. I just like to – I like Benson coming out. James Conner has been doing it forever. At some point, he's got to break down. Mm-hmm. I was just, looking at an article about how Trey Benson is now going to be more of a 1B to his 1A. So it looks like he's going to have increased opportunity no matter what, and I think there's a very real chance that he could – that there could either be injury or maybe even overtake him, you know, if he's just slowing down with age. And then the last guy falls more into a sleeper than a breakout, because he did say sleeper / breakout. I still can't quit Javonte. So Javonte Williams, he's in a good offense. He's got a good quarterback. I still think he's talented. He's multiple years removed from an injury. And I think he could do very well and score a bunch of touchdowns there.
That's another one I have been saying, so I won't again go crazy, but Dak Prescott's QB18 on Football Guys. He's too low. He should be he's been a top five QB before, and the offense is better in terms of pieces around. It's probably the best he's had in 3 or 4 years, so running back aside. But there's enough to get that done. So I still like Dak. I think QB18 is too low. All right. So third question. We drafted a rebuilder from the TA2 dispersal this offseason. The one real contender asset we have is Bijan. What would you be looking for in return for him as a rebuilder? Steve.
I mean, it just would, I would want it to be painful for the team trying to buy him. That's like the only way I would ever move them is like you have to like it has to be completely worth your while, otherwise you're just going to hold them. If a contender thinks he's just gonna kind of take advantage of a rebuilding team, it's just not gonna happen. For I'm not gonna let it happen for someone of Bijan's caliber. So I want it to be painful. I want it to hurt, but enough that you're happy with the addition. But otherwise I'm just gonna hold him. I'm not going to sell for anything less than what he's worth. Plus like my guard goes up. If I'm rebuilding and a contender is trying to like knock on my door, I'm already like adding tax on it. You know what I mean? So, so that would be the only thing I could say. It's hard to say, oh, it has to be two first or it has to be this or that. It just has to hurt the guy who's trying to buy him, you know?
Yeah, I mostly agree with that. I mean, that's kind of what you said at the end there is also, I would probably say it has to be at least two first value, and I'd prefer one of those to be a player, preferably a wide receiver. Actually, almost definitely a wide receiver, unless you can get like a good young quarterback for him like, or something like that. But I think it's most likely you can move him into a receiver and hopefully a first or a real high-end receiver in a second, something like that.
My answer is going to make Dynastud a little sad, and it is going to be you should sell him for more than you could probably get right now, because as we said before, no one's buying running backs in the non-point scoring season. Rocky is kind of, but probably not spending two firsts for Bijan right this moment. So my advice would be to stay patient and wait to see where the contenders shake out before you really decide what you're going to give them away for. Okay. This was kind of a funny one. I work in online reputation management. Which players are most in need of my dynasty reputation rebuilding services? I will go back to Dak Prescott, because everyone is like, he's, you know, a QB2. He's this, that, and the other. When 2 years ago, he probably won you a title. So that would be my answer to that. I don't know who else has an answer, but
I wasn't really
sure. It's kind of a funky question. Yeah. Javonte's a good one, by the way. Like,
he is actually.
He was a God, what was he? RB5 at one point or something ridiculous, like at his peak, and now he's you can't give him away. So that's a good one. But Steve, what do you think? Anyone?
Yeah. Come to mind? I think those answers make more sense than the direction I went with it, but the way I took it was like who needs good PR right now, and my answer for that was Wicks out of Green Bay.
Yeah,
it was the summer of love last year, now it's the summer of silence.
Yeah,
and without Christian Watson and kind of Jade Reed being up and down, like he's still there, he could still make some stuff happen, but boy, what a disappointing mm-hmm. you know, such whimsical optimism just came crashing down. But then it's like he doesn't want to just sell crap to people, you know what I mean? But still, it's like, boy, if anyone needs good PR, it's that guy.
That's what happens when you like unload your redraft fab on him last year and he dropped an egg. So that tends to happen.
My first initial take after quickly reading the question was more just like actual reputation rebuilding services. And the first name that popped into my head was Aaron Rodgers.
But yeah.
That's not what he's asking for.
Tyreek Hill.
I hadn't really thought too much about this one. I'm going to go, though, with Jalen Waddle.
I was literally thinking that as you were talking. Yeah.
He seems ridiculously we've talked about it on the pod before, ridiculously undervalued at this point.
That's good.
Most of the offers I get, and I have a ton of Jalen Waddle shares because I love Jalen Waddle coming out. And most of the time I'm getting like 2 seconds. I've gotten a second and a third as offers. I'm like, I'm not even considering that. So I feel like his reputation, his value, whatever, is in the toilet right now for a lot of people. And I still think there's a ton of talent there. And I still think we're going to see, and he's still not, you know, he's still pretty young. So
Kyler's kind of in the Dak category too.
I thought of Kyler as well when you said Dak.
of bad NFL, bad quote unquote NFL quarterback, but good fantasy quarterback. So, okay. His last one. What's the farthest you've ever gone in the rebuilder or contender direction? I'm thinking the J Mike Invitational on the rebuilder side. Versus trading every pick you have for the next 3 years for a shot at a championship? And what's the furthest you should be willing to go? So, Steve, real quick, I don't know if you know what the J. Mike Invitational was. He traded basically for every pick in what year, Rocky?
What was the
Chase year,
21?
So
yeah, that was that year.
The Lawrence Chase year. He had every
first round pick. I know he drafted Lawrence like 12th just to mess with Russ's ADP.
So, with that context, how far do you go in kind of rebuilding versus contending? Do you completely blow it up and say like, I'm going to hold every pick for the next year and a half? Or, do you try, and on the other side, do you say like, I don't need a pick till 2028. I'm going for a title right now.
So the way I would handle this is, and I have this situation in three leagues specifically that are for cookies. Two leagues, I don't have any rookie picks until 2028 exactly. And then one, I don't have a rookie pick until 2027. And I consider myself a top end contender in all three. And I am projecting to be that way through that time frame with who I move those rookie picks for. So I would say in the right situation, in the right league, if you're contending, I would not recommend digging the hole that deep. But it's something I have done just with my own personal level of risk with how that team is built. As far as the rebuild side goes, I don't feel comfortable putting myself in that position to have this big project to take on. I've seen people do it. It blows me away. I've seen it multiple times where people just have a startup. Everything goes bad first year, that they sell all their assets and they get multiple first round picks, you know, 2-3 years in a row. And they have this like remarkable turnaround. I just don't think I would be very good at I just feel like I'm not that creative to, like, I'd rather be in the buyer seat rather than the seller seat. And who knows how long you're going to stay in that rebuild. I'd rather have the assets I know are going to help me now and utilize those, again, late picks that I'm projecting as just maybes. You know, of course, something could go wrong. The one league I did this in, I ended up losing in the first round of the playoffs when I was the top seed, like the third seed, you know what I mean? Without the buys and stuff. But so that was really awful. But so then the picks I traded away were now in the middle rather than at the end, you know? So there is risk to it, but I would rather be on that contending side with like the less need, approach. Yeah, I would not want to dig the hole that deep if I'm rebuilding. I do not feel comfortable doing that.
I agree. I don't think you should be going to like the extremes he mentions on either end. Usually, if you are though, I actually kind of sort of agree with Steve said there that you should be doing it the contending side more than the other way. To me, I'm much more fine selling out all my picks to try and win and score. That's the whole point of this, is to win. So
that's right.
I'm fine with that. I mostly play on MFL, so I can't sell all my picks until 2028 because we don't do like 90 years out like Sleeper. But I definitely have teams that have like no picks or a couple fourths or things like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally fine doing that. In terms of the other way, I don't like, for almost the exact same reason, I don't like going all picks like Steve was saying. I don't like having to do all the work then of then, because I think you're asking for trouble if you just make all those picks. If you like get like six picks, it worked for J Mike because it was an unbelievable draft.
Yeah.
He actually did make all those picks. He didn't trade them. And he traded a lot of those guys later anyway. But
right.
I'm
for
in
more many, picks.
Yeah, true. Picks and a player that was really good or something too. But it's just too much, especially when you're in 30 plus leagues. It's just too much work to do all that. And I'm more trying to get young players. The one thing I hate, I ran about this probably at least once a year, that I hate, I see this all the time too, that people will sell like a young player because they're scoring them points. That is so ridiculous to me. Like, I can't stand, like, I've seen, like, this was a couple of years ago when he was even younger, but, like, just selling a T. Higgins just so that you can get him off your team, so you can get a first-round pick that doesn't end up being the 101 or anything.
Who could
like that.
Be T. Higgins, right?
Yeah, who could, exactly. And it's like, I can't. They're scoring me points. I might not get the 101. Oh, well, you're the 103. There's nothing wrong with the 103.
Right.
Like, just because T. Higgins scored you too many fantasy points or whoever. Like, I can't think of a higher level guy that I've seen it recently, but I've seen it multiple times where someone will just sell everyone, including their young wide receivers, just to make sure they don't score points and get more picks. And that drives me nuts.
Yeah, I kind of echo everything they said. I'm in a couple of rebuilders, and my God, it's boring. Just watch it. It's like watching grass grow. It's more fun to compete and have points and look down at your team and see like 330 on the MFL scoreboard. So it's more fun to do that. Okay. We're going on to Vince Mapstone, one of my favorite Aussies, if not my favorite Aussie. You should definitely talk about every player Frank is targeting in SFB 15, not for research, just for fun or something. And Chalupa Batman agrees. So these two Jamokes are in Savannah Bananas division with me. So I will say this. I have done little to no research on what I'm going to do for Scott Fishbowl. I don't know if these two have. We can let them answer in a second. But I will be at Chicago Live on Sunday and watching what all the smart people do. And then I will make my decisions from there. So Zach, a.k.a. Chalupa Batman, will actually be on in a couple weeks. And maybe we'll do some SFB strategy. So, Rocky, do your homework before 2 weeks from now.
I'll have to do that because, yeah, I don't even remember all the what the scoring quirks are.
Yeah, I don't either. It's like 2.5 points per catch or something ridiculous. Like he did it again.
But Steve, I will look before the drafts.
First off, are you in SFB and are you doing your research yet?
I am. I'm going to be at the draft in Philly for the third straight year. So very, very excited for that. The research process kind of has started. I did my first mock earlier today, and I'm at the 102 figuring, you know, it would have been super flex again, which it is. So the plan all along was to, assuming Hurts would go 101 in Philly, I just would have Josh Allen fall into my lap.
Yep.
But now with the points per carry and the three and a half times PPR for tight ends, like at 102, I'm kind of hoping for like Jamar Chase or Bijan, like whoever, I don't know. It'll be very interesting. It's really all over the place. So basically I just want to enjoy myself, but I want to win at the same time. You know what I mean? So, but I think ultimately I'd be very happy if Jamar Chase was there at 102. Yes. I don't think I can go quarterback with how deep the position is and how level the playing field is for them with the new scoring. So
yep. I am also at 2. Rocky, do you know what position you are?
I believe I'm 11.
Okay, so Rocky's gonna go QBs
because
back
I don't
back.
Care about getting the high end QB and I like having the third. I think he did third round reversal again.
He did. And and just quick like PSA, as someone who lives in a lot of fantasy cares chats, can everyone leave Scott alone on the like whole third round reversal joke, how he wasn't maybe going to do it. And his mentions have been exploding over the last like month and a half over people like feeling cheated. It's for charity, guys. Shut up. But Vince also said his, so I said, who's your favorite NFL player of all time? Could be fantasy or not. He said his favorite was Lavernius Coles. So Steve, is the jersey a giveaway for your favorite player of all time?
It is. So there's many favorite players, not just of Eagles, but of the NFL. I love Larry Fitzgerald. He's been a favorite of mine, but I got to give it to Brian Dawkins, who I'm wearing right now. He just was different on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, it's just you don't see safeties like him anymore. And I don't know how well he would do in today's version of the NFL with, you know, player safety and all that. Not that he was reckless, but he just hit different, you know, and just
literally
but like his pregame speeches, like all the leadership qualities he had. I love him.
Yep. Rocky.
It's funny. I had three answers and one of them was Brian Dawkins because I am also an Eagles fan. If you didn't know, Steve,
that's right. Love it.
This is actually Super Bowl 52, I think. So one was Brian Dawkins, one is Jason Kelce for a lot of the same reasons as Brian Dawkins, plus just his whole personality, plus that speech after the first Super Bowl was amazing. And the outfit, after the Mummers outfit after the first
Mummers. I was gonna say Thumpers, I knew that didn't sound right.
Yeah, and then the other one is more old school because I'm old, not old school, but old compared to the guys we're talking about. Randall Cunningham. I just loved, Randall was the quarterback when I first really got into football, and he was the ultimate weapon, and he was so fun to watch. And he was not amazing as a quarterback back then. You know, his best year was probably that last year on Minnesota when they almost went to the Super Bowl. He wasn't the greatest passing quarterback, but he was just so much fun to watch.
Yeah. For me, I have a Homer answer, which is Brian Urlacher.
All my answers were Homer answers, so
yeah. My non-Homer answer is actually someone who beat up on the Bears a lot, and that was Adrian Peterson. Prime Adrian Peterson was something I think not a lot of people remember. I think they put a lot of like LT and I'm just blanking on a lot of running backs' names right now, but Emmitt Smith and all these other people like in the top cat, like Adrian Peterson needs to be there. And I say that as a Bears fan, because man, he ran over everybody. So
by the way, if I had picked a non-Eagle, the one I had thought of was actually Barry. It was a running back, Barry Sanders.
Yeah,
he was ridiculous. Like the way things he would do, like he would stop on a dime, spin, just run for 80 yards. It was ridiculous.
Yep. And then my one weird one, and this is going to make the two Eagles fans cringe. I loved Nnamdi Asamoah on the Raiders. He was so fun. There was one year.
Oh, man.
Worst signing ever.
It was probably one of the worst signings ever. But there was one year he had on the Raiders where I'm pretty sure he like didn't allow a catch, it felt like. So, and then the Eagles signed him for like $1 billion and he never
did. And then he couldn't do anything.
And then he couldn't do a thing. So, except I loved
safeties and stuff like that.
I loved Nnamdi Asamoah on the Raiders when that was that defense. Okay. Last one is from our friend Jake Trowbridge. We haven't heard from Jake in a while, but at Jake Trowbridge, @bsky.social, assuming they're both very young, would you rather have the undisputed RB1 in Dynasty or a fringe wide receiver one?
I just, before Steve answers, wanted to comment that I thought this was a funny question. Given it doesn't quite fit the tree because the running back's slightly lower and the receiver's slightly higher, but I just thought it was funny how him not knowing that he asked this question.
What do you think,
Steve? Yeah, so I think the undisputed top running back, I think, would bring out the most trade value if you were to sell them at their peak value. And again, when does that happen? Hard to say. Although I think the asset I would rather have in most cases would be, assuming they're young, would be the fringe wide receiver one. Just for longevity's sake. And again, probably just as equal trade return in a larger window of time. You have a smaller window for the running back, even though it's a little sexier, perhaps, you know. But yeah, I think the wise answer would be the late end wide receiver one.
Yep. So to put a name to this before Rocky goes, I'm looking at Football Guys right now. The RB1 is Bijan Robinson, and I went to wide receiver 10, which is Ladd McConkey.
See, and that kind of fits what I was going to say, in that I think the undisputed RB1, and Steve said it kind of at the beginning of his answer, is probably going to have more value. And that's especially the way he termed this fringe wide receiver one. Like, I feel like you can get a fringe wide receiver one plus for the undisputed RB1.
Yes, you probably can.
So that's why I would do that. And then you can flip it.
the fringe wide receiver ones, so 10 to 13, are McConkey, JSN, AJ Brown, and Garrett Wilson. And I'd rather have Bijan, I think, over all of them. Assuming Bijan's year one. So I do think it's a good question. I think what Steve said is right. I think if you're staring at your roster, you'd probably rather have like a McConkey or someone there who's going to be there forever. But I could totally see how getting Bijan's like 30 points a game in PPR, SFB scoring, whatever scoring you want to come up with is probably more fun.
And it is interesting that there unfortunately can be some turnover in dynasty leagues. So if you just want the best player in the window that the league is going to exist, it makes sense to get that running back, for their potentially shorter career span compared to like a wide receiver. But I don't want to approach every league that way per se. Like if I join a league, I want to join it for the long haul, that would tend to make the wide receiver more attractive. But knowing how fickle it can be, I think the point about the running back makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for sure. B, Bijan's still 23, by the way. That's just freaking insane to me. Yeah. And he's like 23 this season. He's not turning 23 till next January or 24 till next January. So he's a young 23. Okay. Let's go to the trades. TradeX leagues are 12 team Superflex PPR, 10 in premium with 1.75 per 10 reception and 0.05 per return yards in all leagues except TA1 because they'll never break. They'll always hold. And we have a TA1 trade. We have two TA1 trades. The first TA1 trade is Jordan Love and a 27 second for Rashee Rice and Justin Fields in what I would say is the easiest trade in the history of man. So, Steve, what do you think?
This is a tricky one because I definitely value Love over Fields, and is the difference between that and the second worth it for Rice is kind of the question I have. I think I would tend to land on the Jordan Love side if it's super flex and say I needed a quarterback. That's how I would look at that. As much as I like Rice, I already said that, you know, however long ago, but yeah. I think it's a good trade. You know, I think it would be fair, but I would tend to like the upgrade at Love over Fields as the decision-making point.
You said the easiest trade ever. Are you saying that, like, you would easily take the Love side?
No, I would easily take the Rice and Fields side.
Interesting.
Because I agree with Steve. I would rather have the Love side here. And I don't think either one is like super lopsided or anything like that. That's why I was surprised you called it the easiest trade like in history or something like that. And I'm not even a huge Love guy, but I just think I think the other two are probably more question marks than Jordan Love is. And I like Rashee Rice a lot, but I still think we got to, well, maybe question mark is wrong, but he's not, I don't think he's a given, even as much as I'm on the train. I don't think it's a given that he's just like going to be a wide receiver one and going to be amazing for the next 10 years. It's still yet to be proven, and there's still other weapons there. And the quarterback difference is humongous to me. Maybe you're a bigger Justin Fields guy than I am, but
I am. Yeah.
I think Justin Fields very well could be a starting quarterback after 2025. So I'll take Jordan Love in the second.
See, this trade to me is like what Jordan Love was going for last year when he was like QB7. And I don't think this is that same. Like, I understand Fields is more volatile, but at the end of like a points per game, if Fields plays 17 games and Love plays 17 games, you can't tell me they're not going to be close, in my opinion. I think the Jets offense is going to be better. It can't be worse. It physically can't be worse than it was last year. Just there's too much talent. And am I drinking the Will Levis, Zach Wilson Kool-Aid again? Yeah, probably. But Fields is better than both of those two. So, and Rice,
I still think
is worth
he's
more
a much
than a
better
second.
Fantasy quarterback than actual quarterback.
Yes. But I think.
That was part of my point in why I took the Love. Like, if they go 5-12 and Fields is his normal, like, season, like, is he starting somewhere in 25? Is 26?
See, I would see the Jets taking one of the quarterbacks that are coming out, you know, because there's a decent amount coming out this year. So it's more of a question of the Fields' longevity in that
That's
role
what I'm
for
saying.
Me.
Yeah.
I think Love
but
is
I think
just
Rice is
there
enough
for
to take
while.
That risk.
Oh, I feel that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like Rocky, and I'm probably even higher than Rocky now. I've heard enough people say like Rice is going to be a wide receiver one in Dynasty again. And
yeah, I think not that you're saying, but I'm just saying I think you are higher than I. I am on the train, but not I think as much as you.
If you're telling me I'm getting a potential wide receiver one and a guy who can literally drop a 40 burger on your head at any moment, I'll take that for Jordan Love, who I've just never liked. And maybe that's a Packers thing, but I just don't think he's very good. And I don't think his – like, I think Golden's good, but I don't think his offense got much better. So I don't know why we're back on him again. I don't know. Like I said, I'm probably wrong, but I think this is pretty easily right side for me. Okay. One for one. Genty for Amon-Ra.
This was me, by the way, and I'm not telling you which side I got.
What do you think, Steve?
See, this one's really, really interesting. You know, again, as sexy as Gene T is right now, I would prefer Amon-Ra St. Brown in this case, I believe. But again, I would see it as a fair deal if you preferred one or the other. I really couldn't blame you, but I just think for longevity's sake, I would rather have Amon-Ra St. Brown. Perceived longevity's sake.
Yes, I would agree with that too. I think he's in a better offense and he's a receiver. So that breaks the tie.
In the TA1 chat when this trade was made, somebody there that wasn't involved in the trade said that they thought this, that based on the offers that he's made and gotten, that he thinks Genty's value has gone down by what happened in this trade. Do you agree with that?
His value has gone down from what happened in this trade. No, I would say it went up because you just got Amon-Ra for Genty.
Yeah.
And Amon-Ra is a top 8 wide receiver, kind of depending on who you talk to. He's higher in some places and not in others. And those are gold to me. So
how do you know I got Amon-Ra for Genty? Maybe I got, are you in TA1?
No, but I'm saying you traded.
You're saying the person who sold
you traded it. You traded Genty.
I did, by the way. I got gold.
You traded Genty for a gold piece, so inherently that makes Genty's value higher, not lower.
I guess he was thinking. Previously, earlier in the non-point scoring season, he thinks you could have gotten more than this. I don't know. Like,
I don't think so.
People overpay for.
The people above Amon-Ra are Brian Thomas Jr., Puka, CD, neighbors. You're not getting any of those for Genty.
Yeah. So, and I basically thought the same as you guys. You know, top wide receiver. My team also is not great. It's middling. So I'd rather have the receiver. And he's still a young receiver, too. And he, like you said, top 8 in both value and scoring. And I'll take that. And I love Genty. I think he'll be great, but I don't know that he's like, you know, generational or anything.
No. And I think it's going to be a rough year. I don't think this Raiders team is ready to have Genty be the RB1 in Dynasty yet, but I could be wrong. All right. TA4 to close it out. Drake London and Evan Engram for Bo Nix and Theo Johnson.
Real quick comment on this one, too, by the way. This was Russ, not reversing, but playing off of one of the outhouse challenge trades last week, because I think he got Bo Nix and then moved him.
Yep. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I think just as the way I break it down in my head, I would very much would prefer Engram over Theo Johnson at this point. And like, say I'm doing a startup right now, I think it would surprise me if Bo Nix went before Drake London. Mm-hmm. So I would tend to land on the London and Engram side. But if you are needing a quarterback like Bo Nix, I think you could have done better than Theo Johnson as a secondary piece. Okay. So that's the only issue I have with it. I have nothing against Bo Nix. He was phenomenal, but I just would prefer the London and Engram side just because of the, I just think you could have gotten more than Theo Johnson. That's all. Yeah. In that situation.
I'm with Steve. I don't think it's a horrible trade because I do think a lot of people are going to make you, and a lot of people are willing to pay up a little more than probably they should to get a quarterback when they're not giving up a quarterback. I am not, but a lot of people are. But I do agree. I think I agree with Steve. I think the value is on the Drake London and Evan Engram side, and I do love both players. I come up on Nix, but I still want to see it again, too. So yeah, I would take the London and Engram side.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just looking at the Broncos schedule just very quickly. I was going to see if there was like a buying opportunity. They play at Philly and then host the Jets in London. that might be your opportunity for Knicks, because I think he's probably too high right now, and you have to give away players like London and Ingram, I would take the London side as well, but regression, I think, is coming for Knicks. I think he played a little too well for rookie last year, and I understand their offense probably got a little better with RV and Ingram and a bunch of other people, but
And J.K. Dobbins, Frank.
And J.K. Dobbins. And J.K. Dobbins. I think, one, it could be a more run-heavy offense. I mean, I think Bo Nix was like the leading rusher on the Broncos last year, so I could see that not happening again. But there will be a time to buy Bo Nix. Now it's not the time to do it, in my opinion. But I get it if you need a quarterback, like Steven Rocky said. So that will be the end of our show sheet. So that will be the end of our show. Thank you, Steve, for coming on, coming out of your 2-year podcast hiatus to come on the show. Before you go, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find you on Twitter, I guess.
Hey, Zeus, you can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Fantasy Ladder. I'm active on both. I'm not actively making content, that could change at any time if my personal margin time opens up in some way, but it's a little tight at the moment, so no content necessarily, except for this, of course. So this was great. I appreciate the invite. Did just want to remind you that I do have a promo code for the Fast Draft app. If you use the code ladder when you deposit $50, you'll get an extra $50 into your Fast Draft account. That's all I got, so I appreciate it.
Good. Our stuff, patreon.com/TreyHawksPod. You can watch us while we record. You can see Steve's gigantic Philadelphia background with like every Philly team known to man, including Penn State, on it. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. Lots obviously being talked about. And then, of course, it's Scott Fishbowl season, Fantasy Cares. There's merch. There's race days on Friday. We're in live draft season. Like I said, Chicago's this week. So if anyone's in Chicago and at the restaurant that I'm already blanking on the name of what it is, and it's very famous, it's going to kill me that I forgot it, but it's fine. I will see you at the restaurant on Sunday. And I think that's it. So as Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy pants. Daddy's the best. See ya.